Now, don't think that you get this misunderstanding just in very liberal circles, because you can find it in the most evangelical, Bible-believing circles. For instance, in the new Bible handbook, which is put out by InterVarsity Press, it states on page 270, "It is evident in the Gospels that Jesus used Son of Man rather as a veil than as a revelation of His Messiahship." Have you heard that one? That Jesus is trying to hide His Messiahship. He doesn't want anyone to know about it. That's just because we don't understand Jewish thought and Jewish ways of talking. The Son of God and the Son of Man actually mean the same thing, except, as I said, Son of Man is stronger. We shouldn't try to make a distinction between them. You know, some people try to make distinctions between everything. I've even heard that some people try to make a distinction between everlasting life and eternal life. They say when everlasting life ends, then eternal life begins. Even the messianic title Son of God is not so simple. You know that that's not a messianic title? Not Son of God, but only Son is the messianic title. It's not so simple even as it seems. Of course, it means Son of God, but that's not the way you talk in Hebrew. Now, this title, like other messianic titles, that is, Son of God, hints at Old Testament Scripture. The minute a Jew heard the messianic title Son, he immediately hooked together several passages, such as Psalm 2:7, "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." 2 Samuel 7:14, "I will be his father and he shall be my son." And Psalm 89:26, "He shall cry unto me, Thou art my father, my rock and the my God and the rock of my salvation." Surprisingly, Son of God appears in none of these passages. There's a hint of the Son of God, but the messianic title itself is really only one word, Son. And that's what Jesus uses. Now let's look at a passage from the Gospels. Luke 10:22. Jesus says, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him." Now, the Father and the Son is simply what is called the generic usage, the general usage. We're not referring to any particular Father, we're referring to any Father. It's what's called the general usage in Hebrew grammar. For instance, in Ezekiel 18:4, it says, "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father, as well as the soul of the Son, is mine. The soul that sins shall die." Now here's what the RSV should have translated. See if anybody has a translation like this. "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of a Father, as well as the soul of a Son," or in better English, you would say, "the soul of His Son." "The soul of a Father, as well as the soul of His Son, is mine. A soul," not the soul, but "a soul that sins shall die." Another example is Isaiah 7:14. It says literally, "Behold, the young woman shall conceive and bear a son." Now don't worry about this young maid or young woman. People never bother to look at the preceding verse when they argue about whether it's a virgin or a young maid. It says a young maid, a young woman. But they don't look at the preceding verse where it says, that the Lord says, "Behold, I'm going to give you a sign," in other words, a miracle, and a young woman is going to get pregnant and have a son. So it means the same thing. But they always argue about that specific verse and never look at the verse before, which clearly indicates that we're talking about a miracle. Anyway, "Behold, the young woman shall conceive and bear a son." But it should be translated, "Behold, a young woman shall conceive and bear a son." Now let me translate this passage in Luke 10:22 in a better way. Jesus says, "All things have been given to me by my Father." The minute he said, "my Father," every Jewish person, like a computer, they hooked these verses that we mentioned previously, Psalm 2:7, 2 Samuel 7:14, and Psalm 89:26 together. They knew that no one had the right to address God as my Father except the Messiah who was to come, from these passages which were understood messianically. Do you know that not one rabbi in the past or in the present, no rabbi in history ever addresses God as my Father except Jesus? The rabbis taught their disciples to pray, "Our Father." So did Jesus, "Our Father." But no one taught his disciples to pray or addressed God as my Father. That would be almost heresy. When Jesus said, "my Father," you can be sure that everyone in the audience was shocked. They immediately knew what he was talking about. Now here he says, "my Father." He says it two or three times that we have recorded. For instance, when he was in the temple at age 12, you know, we have these big discussions about when Jesus knew he was the Messiah. Even in fundamentalist Bible colleges, professors will raise this question: did Jesus know he was the Messiah when he was born, or when he was 12 years old, or when he was baptized, or maybe when he was crucified, or maybe even after he was resurrected? When did he know? It's all a bunch of nonsense. At the age of 12, Jesus says, "Don't you know that I must be in my Father's house or about my Father's business? My Father," and everyone standing there, all the wise men, and also Mary his mother, understood exactly what he was saying. "I am the Messiah." And here Jesus says, "my Father." "All things have been given to me by my Father, and no one knows a son like his Father, or a father like his son, and to whomever his son wishes to reveal him." And every time he says son, they understand that he's saying, "I am the son. I am the one that has this special father-son relationship." The Messiah was going to have a special father-son relationship with God when he came. Now, one last point. What does the first phrase in this verse mean? "All things have been delivered to me by my Father." That always stumped me, that phrase. "All things have been delivered to me." What are the all things? What does it mean? And what does it mean, "have been delivered to me"? And as I was studying this passage and preparing this message not too long ago, I noticed this passage once again. And I said to myself, "Well, I'd like to know what that means. For years I've wondered what that meant. But I don't really have time to check it. You know, you have to go back in concordances and start going through. It's just hard digging. I'm not going to have time to do that." But then I remembered, as I started to go on, it seemed to me that somewhere in the Old Testament there was a passage which had something about dominion or authority and also give hooked together. Well, I started to go on again, and let me just take a quick look. I started looking, and I looked through four or five passages, and then I found a verse which has dominion and you hooked together in the same verse. And guess what it is? Daniel 7:14. The next verse after the passage which includes the title, the messianic title, Son of Man. And let's read it. Because this is the most powerful, the most significant verse that I know of. It tells you everything, and it tells you a lot about the kingdom of heaven. Now here's what it says. And to him was given dominion and glory and kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Now notice that in both of these verses, Luke 10:22, and here, the opening phrase is in the passive. And to him was given. Who was it given by? In the preceding verse, we saw that this one, like a son of man, was presented before the Ancient of Days. So it's the Ancient of Days. God is giving him all things. What are these all things? Dominion, glory, kingdom, peoples, nations, languages, an everlasting kingdom, one that's never going to pass away, never be destroyed. This is what Jesus is claiming. You see how with one phrase you can call up for the minds of the audience a whole passage or a whole chapter. All things have been given to me by my Father. All things. Do you know that Satan is a liar? Satan also tried to use this passage. Let's turn back over to the temptations. That's in Luke chapter 4, I think, verse 6. Luke 4, let's start with verse 5. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me. Notice what he's claiming. And I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it shall be yours. Jesus didn't buy it. He knew that all these things had been given to him. And what are they? Authority and glory and dominion. And Satan knows rabbinic methods of interpretation. He understands them all, and he can use them and quote for the audience or the culture in which he's trying to deceive, wherever it may be. And here he hints at Daniel 7:14 and claims the prerogative that belonged only to Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus didn't buy it. And he says, all things have been given to me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that it was to you that this authority and this kingdom and this dominion was delivered. We thank you that you knew it, you claimed it, you had it, and with it you set us free. You've delivered us, and in you we have all things. Thank you, God, that you've liberated us and set us free. Amen. Take a piece of paper and a pencil, find something you can write on, because it's not enough just to say that it's easy to learn Hebrew and that you should be learning Hebrew. I have to demonstrate for you that it is easy to learn, and the only way that you can feel it on your own flesh is if you get out a piece of paper and a pencil and you write. When I write, you write. When I stop and talk, you keep practicing the letters. It only takes us about 10 minutes and we'll learn about a sixth of the Hebrew alphabet. And you'll be able to read, sight unseen, seven words you've never seen before. Is that a deal? Okay. Just to prove to you that I don't exaggerate too much when I claim all these things. All right. Now we're just going to learn the letters of the word Shalom. Shalom means peace, hello, goodbye, and lots of other things. Like, it's one of the words which is translated prosperity in the Bible. Shalom, wholeness, completeness, health, well-being. There are so few words in Hebrew, only 1/20 of the vocabulary of English, so few words that each word has to do double, triple duty. Shalom. The first sound that we hear in the word Shalom is the SH sound in Shalom, the sh. Now, we don't have to have two letters to make this sound as in English. We have just one letter, and this is the way we make it. We start on the upper line, we come down and back up like that. That's the first stroke. Looks like a U or something. Let's do it again. We come down and back up, and then we bring a line down from the upper line, like this. That's the second stroke. It looks like a pitchfork. That's the sh, sh. That's the sh, the SH sound. And the next sound we hear is the ah, as in father. And it's just a little T right under the letter. I'll make it again. Like this. Ah, the little T is the ah sound. Always ah. Hebrew is a phonetic language. Each letter and each vowel sign has one and only one sound. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you get to heaven, it'll be the same. If you don't get started studying now, when you get up there, the first thing they do is send you to an ulpan. You know what that is? That's a Hebrew language school. And if I get there before you do, I'll probably be the director, since that's my profession. So start now. Shah. Up to this point, we have Shah. Everyone?
Shah.
Shah. And the Hebrew L is a crook that looks like this. You just start up here. I'll make it out here again. You start above the line and come across and then down like this. That's the L, softer than our L. Not like our long, our L in the back of the throat. It's a L, 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 soft L, L. Up to this point, we've got Shal. Everyone?
Shal.
Shal. Let's write it again. Sh. Ah. L. And we have Shal. The Hebrew O is just a straight vertical line with a tiny horizontal top left, like this. And we dot it, we put a dot above it, like so, just like we dot the I in English. Why do we dot the I in English? Then I'm not going to tell you why we dot the O in Hebrew. Okay? And the final sound that we hear is just the M, and the M sound is just a square like this, except that you make it, you have to go clockwise since we're writing from right to left, like that. We go around this way. Just a square. Now let's write the whole word once more. Start off. Ah. then the L, and then O, We leave a little bit sticking out here to the left if you want it to look more like the printed one. And that's Shalom, everyone.
Shalom.
We put the accent at the end in Hebrew. Shalom, everyone.
Shalom.
And keep this ah long. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. You see, in English, whenever we have an unaccented syllable like this one, and the accent is here, we shorten it and we say Shalom. Shalom, you all. Shalom. And you can always tell in the English speaker in Israel. We have to keep it long. Shalom, everyone.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. There's no ah in Hebrew. No ah. No short a. So don't, you know, the Australians, they really have a strong ah. And they'll say, Shalom. Shalom. No ah in Hebrew. No I, no short I in Hebrew. Only E. Only E. Tel Aviv. Not Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv. Once again, Shalom.
Shalom.
All right. Good. I think you have got it. Now, a few flashcards to practice. And then we'll let you read some words you've never seen before. See if you can do it. That's it. Very good. L, l, l. Very soft. Put your tongue behind your upper front teeth. L, 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 l. Oh, oh. Now don't say it like an American. Oh, and A, and make diphthongs thongs out of everything. It's just, oh, oh, oh. Don't forget, the O dot, it's round, it's O. Still O. What happened? L, l, l. Good, I think you've got it. Now let's try syllables. These are just nonsense syllables. You can't start out with the vowel in Hebrew. You have to start with the consonant. And all you do is you read phonetically. Sh, ah. Consonant, vowel, consonant, vowel, consonant, vowel. You can't make a mistake. Oh, we've only had two vowels. This one is ah, and the one with the dot is o. Don't forget. Sha. Very good. Sh-O, you put them together. Show. L-A-M-L-A-M. Good. Lo, lo. Now, don't be afraid to try. The only way you learn a language is by making mistakes. So don't worry. What is this? Losh. Sh-a-o. Shal. Shal. Shom. Shom. Good, good. I believe you people can learn Hebrew. Good, good. Sh-a-sh-shash. Shash. O-dot. O-dot. It's the O-dot. Sh. S-H-O-U-L. Shoal. Lam, Lam. Who said Lash? They never change, people. As soon as we get practice with them, as soon as we learn them, we can read anything that uses these letters. They don't change. This is always sh, this is always o, this is always m. Mm. Good. Are you guys getting this over here? They don't think they can learn. They think you can learn. The young ones. Sha, okay, words. Get ready. I can read that. Lo is actually a word. It means him or to him. It's used hundreds of times in the Bible. Where's an O? Ah. Sham. Sham means there. T-H-E-R-E. There, over there. Used almost 500 times in the Bible. Lash. It means to knead dough. I need dough. Do you need dough? No, not that kind. Like this. D-O-U-G-H. Lash. Shosh. Shosh is short for Shoshana. Shoshana means rose, lily, lily of the field, rose of Sharon. Shosh is the short form. We use it as a girl's name today. Almost every other girl in Israel is called Shoshana, or for short we call her Shosh or Shoshi. This is Shosh. What is it in English? Susan. Susanna. It comes through Greek and a few other languages, finally gets into English, a little garbled. Shalash. This ain't like this. Sh-a-l-o-sh-shalosh. It means the number 3. Now we're getting to multisyllabic words. Be careful. Shalal. 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 What does it mean? Plunder or booty. Used almost 50 times in the Bible. We know a man's name that is Shalal. It's written just like this. S-H-A-L-A-L in English. In the Bible. Who is it? No. It's a long name. A mile long. Found in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 1 and verse 3. Yeah. Who said that? But in Hebrew, there's no ah. Only ah. Maher Shalal Chashbaz. That was the guy's name. It means, Maher means fast. Shalal means plunder. Fast to the plunder. Chashbaz is Hebrew poetry. You say the same thing twice, it means the same thing. Chash, fast. Baz, to the booty or the plunder. Maher Shalal Chashbaz was this poor guy's name. Shalal Chash Baz. Now, how do you say goodbye in Hebrew? Shalom.